Welcome to this episode of Open Insights. I'm here with Dr. Curtis King. I'm gonna pivot and have him do an introduction. Give me a little bio. Tell me about you.
Don't want to bore the listeners by any stretch of the imagination, but my name is Curtis King. I have the pleasure of serving as superintendent in the Rockwood School District. This is my fourth year in Rockwood. It's my 13th year being a superintendent, and so I come literally from a house right where my mom was a home ec teacher. It was home ec at that point in time, not family consumer science. My father was actually a bus driver for the transit system back home. And so the importance of education and the willingness and really the criticality of parents supporting students in collaboration with teachers in schools was really planted in me very, very early on. And it's fascinating. Like, you get down the road a little bit, how you see those seats begin to bear fruit. So it is a challenge every day, but it is a privilege to be a public educator.
I love that. What'd you start off as?
Social studies teacher.
Yeah,
many years ago.
My kind of people. U.S. government?
I taught that as well, yep.
Yeah.
It's been a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
But the needs are still there, right? The importance of civic engagement. Yeah. And to be very frank with you, and I'm not going to get political, but I would just say this.
It's okay.
One of our hallmarks in terms of strengths as a nation has always been this notion that we are moving forward, but even when we have points of disagreement, that we don't land in a place where we are disagreeable. And I'm hopeful that schools are able to continue that very, very important dialogue as we move forward as a nation.
Okay, so let's make that as a launching point. I'm really curious about this. So in the role of the political role as a superintendent, because it is, how, working with your community, working with your teachers, how do you navigate that from a practical standpoint? Because I'm sure you have lots of different points of views, lots of big feelings, all these different things. Like, what have been some core frameworks or successful ways for you to approach that particular challenge of, in disagreeing, still treating each other well and approaching each other from a, I don't know, maybe an open curiosity? I'm just curious for you.
I think schools are at their best when you have communities that are working in collaboration and for what I call a very positive conspiracy. Like, we're working with parents. Parents are in conjunction working with us. And we're making sure that everybody's on the same page of how a student is progressing, not just academically, how they're progressing, how we can be of support of each other. I think the more and stronger we are able to connect, the better we're able to do what we do for students, which is adding value each and every single day. And I have said this to parents for decades, whether we've started or ended the conversation on the same page or not. There's nothing more personal than being a parent. And people are sending us their absolute best. That is a piece of them in terms of their children. And it is a calling. And we have an obligation to make sure we are being transparent with what we're doing with kids and what that looks like. How can families be of assistance? And if this particular piece, this small piece, isn't what you're looking for, we can always and have always, right, develop alternate places, spaces, topics for students to serve and to learn. But it just doesn't have to jump to this place of being disagreeable.
Yeah.
I just think the more you lay it out there so that people have a clear idea of what is coming, the better off everybody's going to be.
So I once had an interesting conversation with, it was like a director of family engagement with a fairly large school district. And I said, what's one of the like core beliefs or core observations you've seen? And she told me, it still sticks with me. She's like, Zach, they might come from different backgrounds, poverty levels of marriage. She's like, one consistent thing you tend to find on almost all circumstances, they love their kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes they don't quite know how to translate that into improving academic performance or making choices about X, Y, and Z. But as a foundation, you're saying that's where you got to start.
Absolutely. It's a very basic, and I believe a universal understanding that we start from there, right? They absolutely want what's best for the kids. And let's be frank, if you have ever raised them, right, the teen years are not the easiest walk, obviously for the teenager, but that's also true for the parent as well. You're watching them literally mature in front of you, sometimes in literally in ways that are faster than you are hoping for.
Yeah.
There's a push-pull when your child is a senior in high school that's very, very different, and they're not the same individual they literally were walked into a classroom by a parent at age five, right? But it's a process. And so it's really important, I believe critically important, that we have those relationships that are in place because we're supporting each other along the way. And if you have more than one child, you know this as well. They're each different.
Yes, they are.
Same educational or home setting, domestic setting, the exact same, right? But they're just different. And so an AP shared something with me some time ago that stuck with me. Every child is their own unique puzzle.
Yeah.
And it's very, very true. And it is by far the most humbling job on the planet. But our job is to be of support, making sure we're challenging, supporting, but also communicating, not only with students, but with their families as well.
Okay, so I'm curious, from a kind of jumping into a systems and a pragmatic question about this. Obviously, there's a little bit of a reason why I'm asking this question, given what we do. But I'm curious, like, what have you seen work well from a systems perspective at clarifying that communication with parents, getting on the same page? And what have you seen not work very well? I'm just curious, like the good and the bad in your experience, and maybe a little bit of the particular challenges and what you would like to see, or any ideas that you have to go beyond that challenge of getting away from the ambiguity that sometimes can crop up and cause that dysfunction.
There's so much data that is available. You have to have ownership around the data itself, not only as districts, but I think that families need to as well. One of the reasons we are actually partnering with Abre is the fact that I love the idea that students will have the ability to take their own data. We have a 22-year-old at home, so I've seen the process of going through the collegiate process in terms of applications. Our daughter's now in med school, so I've seen that whole side of things. But that ability to use your own data for you to literally weave and tell your own story as a student, here's where I started and here's how I progressed, and let me show you, not what I think, let me show you quantitatively what that looks like. I mean, the more you're able to do that, you not only empower that student for the rest of their lives, it shows that that investment that families are making into public schools and that communities are making into public schools, it is truly the self-fulfilling prophecy that you hope for. Yeah. We've always had it, but it's one thing to speak about this qualitatively, but to be able to weave a story of both qualitative and quantitative measures, I mean, that's a game changer. That is an absolute game changer. And that's what we're looking to do each and every day with our families and our students. I think when there's ambiguity and fuzziness of what students can expect versus what they actually experience, I think when you have those situations, especially in our times right now, to be very frank, right?
Yep,
it just opens doors of question that really don't serve anyone well.
Yep.
Just put it all out there.
Yep.
Good, the bad, the in-between, put it out there so that families can make their decisions and we ultimately move forward.
So I'm curious, we can easily be awash in lots of data, lots of it coming out. And I'm curious, like, in communicating with parents or in communicating with larger stakeholder groups, how do you think, or do you have opinions on, like, making the data cognitively approachable to, again, a wide spectrum of folk who might come with history about school being such a way when they were younger, or you know, might not really be into like the hardcore computational or a math background or anything like that, but they still, I mean, again, the foundation, they still care about their kids. So I'm just curious a little bit, like, how do you attack that narrative in going into communicating with a larger group?
I think it's a critical question to really address because, again, back to fuzziness, right? When there is fuzziness and this feeling as though I don't know what I need to when it comes to my child, because that's their child, right? I don't know what I need to understand and have comprehensive knowledge and awareness of when it comes to my child. Best case scenario, opening the doors to some significant questions. You're absolutely correct about this notion of just an absolute deluge of information.
So much.
One of the great challenges right now is we are in a world where two paragraphs is too long.
Yes.
Right? Like, how do you get it to no more than three sentences? I'll do anything for Rockwood. I'm not going to TikTok dance. Here are your star or map assessment results. It's not built into the contract, but I wouldn't hold my breath and expect that
other
that's going to happen.
Other duties assigned.
But just making sure that we're finding ways to clearly communicate that to parents. And email is so prevalent that it's actually, if you aren't careful, counterproductive.
Yeah.
And you're just lost in a wash of information. Be very purposeful of what you're communicating and how you're communicating it. Find ways so that parents are empowered to feel confident about what they are reading, analyzing, ultimately comprehending when it comes to their student's performance. But also find pathways, regardless of where that student is performing. what are we able to do to continue to add growth for every student? Regardless if that child is reading five grades above their reading level or their grade level, what are we doing to continue to push? Our challenge is to push, support, and provide for all of our students. When we provide a delineated list of some of the pieces that I've just described, it's not just about quantitative. There's a qualitative feel of, okay, we're on the same page. I do understand how I can be of support to help my child. I don't believe there's a parent out there that doesn't want to be of support to help their child. I don't believe that that individual exists.
Yep.
That's what we do. Yep. We need to be a part of that puzzle.
I think also part of the understanding when you're having that conversation with data is that, I'm thinking through the lens of like, we're all singing from the same songbook,
yes.
You know? So, I mean, I've been in meetings just growing up as with my own children where like, I'm seeing a report from over here that the teacher might have that is different than what I just saw over here that came from the newsletter that is different from the you know what I'm saying? Like this is so this idea of having a common songbook that we're reading the same narrative.
Absolutely.
Allows you just to grow, to have those deeper conversations about how do we help support our kids.
It's a synchronization and a bit of coordination as well, right? And when you're in that second grade parent-teacher conference, it's very different than the middle grades, the middle years, middle school itself, and versus high school. Like those are three very distinct seasons of raising a child, or in our case, educating a child.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that our methodology and our messaging reflects the complexity. It's hard when they're becoming teenagers. It is hard. When you walk home, right?
Teenagers are hard.
Right, right. Hey, how was your day?
Great. Okay.
So we eliminate that as a qualifying response. I want to hear in some depth from your mouth, right?
Yep.
Talk to me about how your day was.
Like there's a lot of things going on in education right
now. A little
bit. I would love to hear, one of our core values is optimism. As a company, I would like to know from your perspective, what's something that you get really excited about in your role and your job, what you're facing, no sugarcoating, some challenging times, would just love what gets you going.
It's always going to be kids.
Yeah.
When you walk into a classroom to see the fog lift, regardless what the topic, the content area happens to be. To watch the fog lift when you can just see a student doesn't fully get it. And you watch both the art and science of what a highly effective teacher is doing. And we are very blessed to have well over 1,500 of them in the Rockwood School District. When you see that fog burn off and lift, there literally is nothing else quite like that. Point blank, period. And when the day is tough, being in classroom spaces, quite honestly, even sitting alongside a student and helping them to lift some of that fog, there's literally nothing more rewarding than that. It is incredibly complex work, but there is nothing more rewarding than that. That is why so many of us became educators, and it's absolutely why so many of us stay in the field of education.
Love that. It is. It's the best thing ever.
By far.
Yeah. All right, like to end here with our good old nostalgia question. All right, so we like to kind of always ask this question, like it's a profession of feeling in the sense of like, nostalgia feelings, but also again, that joy that comes that you were just describing of lifting kids up and seeing when they're actually learning. I just want to ask you for like, if there would be a memory through Education View that would be like, oh, this is the one thing that, makes me laugh, or it's just again a sugar-coated memory that you think about. This was a really cool thing that I remember from school. I'd love to hear what that is. We used to say this is like, if this was a TV show and you had to go find the commercial, what would the commercial be right here?
Absolutely, I actually share this every year with new teachers, and it's a picture of me lined up on a fence with four other colleagues that are headed to our first day of kindergarten. As my son would say, last century, heading to kindergarten that first day. And I've got this Hot Wheels T-shirt on. It's probably polyester. I can't remember what the pants were made from. But I have this Pac-Man backpack, which truly dates me. Because it's not just about students that don't understand Pac-Man. We have staff that have no idea what they're going to have to look up. What is Pac-Man? Or what was Pac-Man? But it's that first day of school, and all these years later, you can still remember that excitement, that tangible feeling of excitement as I'm headed to Mrs. Saunders' classroom that day. Interestingly enough, when I finished my doctorate, and you mentioned it earlier, when I finished my doctorate, I actually got a voicemail from Ms. Saunders.
And oh, no way. Just think about that, which meant that my mother or father made sure that she was aware that I finished. But it just immediately, it's like this this
space bridge that takes you immediately back to that moment in time.
Yeah.
I have always been able to, with our two kids, been able to be there that first day of school for them, as walking them into school as kindergartners. And I remember being on the stage when my daughter our daughter graduated from high school. And I look forward to doing that with our son as well. Those are just tangible, like keepsakes that stay in your head. What amplifies it as a superintendent is remember, right? The good, the bad, the in-between of whatever is going on. Remember what that meant for you, but also have a degree of understanding of what that means for parents, because those are universal experiences that parents experience, that children ultimately experience, and clearly they stay with you for some time.
Well, thank you.
No, it's been my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
This is a great conversation, and appreciate it. And I don't know, anything else you'd like to add? No big deal now, but it's what you're supposed to do at the end of podcast. Be like, what did I forget to ask you?
Let's not be apologetic for our work as educators. When I think of the investment that our communities are making, regardless of the noise that is around us, let's make sure we're keeping this the main thing. But we never need to be in a position where we're holding our heads down because of the work that we're engaging in. We show up every day. Pandemic or not, we show up every day, right? Rain, sleet, depending upon the amount of snow, right?
Yeah.
But we're showing up every single day to meet the needs of students. And I have always been a strong proponent and believer in the fact that the more we do it as a team, the better we're going to be.
Love that. Man, exclamation point and period. Here we go. Love it. Thank you so much.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.